directing you towards.
Hallelujah. So that's one way, through our passion and zeal. Another example that you can think of is Moses. Moses. Look at the story of Moses. Moses was raised up with the princes as one of the princes of Egypt. And come to think of it, he didn't grow up with the Israelites. You know, in the story, for people that are not familiar with that story, the people of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and in that land they were treated as slaves. And it got to a point where the ruler Pharaoh asked that every child be killed, every Hebrew child be killed. And the mother of Moses puts Moses in the water, pushed him, and then he found his way to the king's palace. And then the daughter of Pharaoh saw Moses, carried him as her own daughter, and raised him up. So he grew up amongst the princes. But as time went on and he grew, God has already ordained that Moses will be the one to deliver Israel from the land of Egypt. So without Moses knowing much, ordinarily, without him needing a prophet to tell him that you have been called by the Lord, you know, before the encounter by the burning bush where God actually told him to go and deliver the people of Israel, when he was still in Egypt, he saw the Egyptians. One of the Egyptians was, you know, beating the Israelites, and Moses was just moved with his zeal to save him, to help him, to deliver him. That, again, is an example of how the Spirit can move you through passion and through your passion and your zeal. Praise God. So Moses, without knowing much, you know, come to think of it, if it was some of us in our time, we might have been like, Shebi is not me. I'm not suffering. Let me just continue being a king or being a prince. And as much as I can help the Israelites, maybe I'll be sending food to them. Since I'm one of them, I'll be sending food to them. But the story of Moses was different. He had so much zeal and passion that when he saw the Israelites being, you know, tormented, he did something. That shows that God can use passion and our passion and our zeal to push us to what he wants us to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's another example. So meaning that as believers, we must pay attention to our zeal. We must pay attention. You know, it don't just shut down when you are praying and all of a sudden you have a particular passion to maybe get into one business or get into one assignment. Don't just shut it down. Praise God. Learn to pay attention to it, because it might just be that the Lord is pushing you to do something through that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're not saying this to say that every passion that comes to your heart or every thought that comes to your heart, you just jump and say, is the Holy Spirit pushing me? You know, there are some people that, even though they are saved, they have different kinds of passions. I've met people that just have 100 things that they want to do. If you ask them, what is the Lord telling you to do now? What do you want to do? They will mention like 100 things, and eventually they will not end up doing any one of them. So many times, though we are saying that, you know, your passion can be an instrument through which God can push you to your assignment, we must also pay attention and try those passions, particularly in the place of prayer and with God's word. So whenever you have a passion, stay long enough praying about it. Stay, you know, don't just shut it down, but don't just also jump and start doing it. Pay attention, pray. Ask God, are you leading me? And if the Lord is leading you to do it, it will continue to come and to come and to come. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It says, and to the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Meaning that one way you can try to know if the thoughts and intents of your hearts are either by the Spirit or it's just from your soul, from your mind that is trying to develop something, you can stay with the word of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, so check your zeals, check your passion, check what is that thing that the Lord is putting in your heart. It might be a pointer to God's assignment for your life. Praise God. Number three is observation. Observation. Now, many times we need to sit and observe what is that thing that seems like a pattern in our life. Before you jump and you say it's the village people that are following you, sometimes you might actually see patterns and trends in your life that might actually point to what the Lord will have you do. Praise God. Of course, if it's a negative pattern, you know that you have to pray about it. But if you know, you have a particular pattern in your life. Maybe you've seen yourself that when you're in secondary school, they put you as class captain. When you are in, maybe you're in nursery school, when you're in primary school, when you're in secondary school, you now say that, this one, maybe it's because I'm sitting in front, I'll start sitting at the back. And one way or the other, they just find you from wherever you are, say, you, is you. You know, Pastor shared a story of something that happened one day. He said that this was when he just started his work with God. And he was just, 30 minutes every day, pray and study the Bible. And he was just doing that what he even had in mind was that if I do this thing for 6 months and nothing happens, then I know that the Bible is fake. So he was just testing it. So every day he would study his Bible and he would pray. And then he said after maybe like 3 months or so, as he studied his Bible and he prayed, and he finished, as he closed the Bible, he said he just heard a voice telling him that he's going to lead the choir in ministration that Sunday. And he was like, okay. That was the first time he was hearing God speak to him like that. And so, when he went for rehearsal on Saturday, he said, okay, let me check that if this voice is truly correct. He now said he went to go and hide somewhere at the back so that the choir director will not see him. And so the choir director, when he was about to select who would take the song, just said, you at the back. He was looking, he said, that short boy, you. You are the one that will take it. What that's just trying to say basically is that sometimes when we have, when the Spirit of God is saying something, when He's directing us in a particular direction, sometimes no matter how you try to escape it, it will find you. So you must be able to look at, observe, and check what is that trend? What's that thing that even when I try to hide, even when I say, okay, this one, I don't want to do it, one way or the other, they still call you and say, you are the one that will take it. It might just be pointing to your assignment. Praise God. And we have an example in the Bible. We see the story of Moses. The story of Moses, after Moses, saw that, his brother, the Israelites, one of the Israelites' brother was being tormented and he saved him. Then word got to Pharaoh and then he ran away from Egypt and he now wanted to leave Loki. Okay, you know what? Maybe I failed. Maybe this thing that God is even putting in my heart, maybe it will even come to pass. So he went to leave Loki. And the Bible says, I want us to look at that story in Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. So verse 15 says, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the draughts to water their father's flock. Verse 17. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that he came so soon? So let's stop there. So look at it. Look at the story. Moses, at this point, just ran away because something moved him to rescue, to save somebody that needed help. And it now turned against him and they were going to, kill him. So he ran away. And at this point, maybe Moses was like, you know what? I don't tire. What's even this thing that's always pushing me to help people? So he went to sit down by the well, just maybe thinking about his life, because he just lost everything. He was a prince in Egypt. He just lost everything. He just ran away and he was in exile. And he just sat down to think about his life. The next thing, somebody came and needed help and he could not just help it. He had to still stand up and help the person. That shows you a pattern. Eventually, God then calls him and tells him to go and deliver, to save Israel. So that's continuous pattern. If Moses calm down and just say, let me even observe this thing, maybe you will have realized earlier that God is calling him for a specific assignment. Hallelujah. So sometimes, when you see patterns like that, maybe you need to sit down and question it. Sometimes in the place of prayer, it might be a pointer to what God's assignment is for your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Another way to find your assignment is through faithfulness. Faithfulness to the present. Someone say faithfulness to the present. Say faithfulness to the present. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Let's see that scripture. Very popular scripture again. Proverbs 22, 29. Look at what it says. 22. Proverbs 22, verse 29. I read from here. Proverbs 22, 29. It says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Praise God. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" Many times we see Bible truths and we might sometimes ignore some of those truths. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible says, if a man is diligent, is faithful in his business, he will stand before kings and not men. Have you ever wondered, is there anything that have you ever been in a situation where you are in a point where someone is asking you a question and you feel like the answer is so obvious? Maybe somebody comes to you and says that, I'm feeling sleepy. I'm tired. The next thing that you say is, go and sleep. Exactly. Go and sleep. Why are you telling me? Right? Because it's so obvious. And many times we might think and say, this person is asking me a stupid question. For example, you want to drink water and you say, okay, did you drink that water? No. Or you say, something funny happened on Saturday when we went to Mega Chicken. We went to the car park. We were trying to call the security. And the guy was not answering. It was just, I don't know what was wrong with him. And I eventually came and said, "Oh, guy, you want park?" I said, "No, I want to stay on the air." sometimes you feel like people are asking you stupid questions. But do you know that many times as believers, we also ask stupid questions? Do you know? The Bible is so clear on some things that if you do this, this will happen. So you see somebody that has not been diligent. He has not been faithful. They gave him 1,000 to do. He has not even put in 1%. He's now saying that, why is this thing not working? It won't work. You have a business. You have, even if it's a secular business, you're not putting your attention to it. You're not putting your mind to it. You are taking it with levity and you're asking, why is this business not growing? Why is the Lord not blessing it? There are just some things that the Bible teaches. So also, we might be asking ourselves, why is it that the Lord is not showing me the assignment he has for me? And he will ask you, that those small things that I've led you to do, how much have you done it? How seriously have you taken it? And this is so true. Praise God. It's littered all around scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Can we read this scripture together? 1, 2, go. Take it again. Take it one more time. Do you see what it's saying there? It says, "Moreover, it is required, it is expected in stewards that a man be found faithful." So you cannot be asking God for the next step. You can't be asking God for the next assignment when he has committed things into your hands now and you're not taking it well. Check the Bible very well. It is littered everywhere. Even Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 25. You remember that parable, the parable of the sower. The Bible says that Jesus Christ called some people. Jesus Christ, in telling that parable, he said a master called some of his servants. He gave one 10, he gave one 5, and he gave one talent. And he told them to go and make profit. And the master went and he came back. And the one that had 10 multiplied his 10 and he had 20. The one that had 5 multiplied it and he had 10. But the one that had 1 went to go and dig and hide that one that he had. He was like, "What does this master think? Who is this master? What does he think he is?" And he was not faithful with that one, that little that was given to him. And the Bible is very, very, very detailed. The Bible says that the master, collected that one that he had and gave it to the one that had 20. Meaning that in God's system, it is the people who have been faithful with the little things that he can promote to give more. It's the one that had the highest profits that the master gave more. Do you see that? So until you, if you are looking for your assignment, maybe you've been asking God, maybe you're like, "I need to find out that assignment in my life." First of all, check around you. What is that thing that the Lord has told you to do? And how faithful have you been with it? You cannot have more until you are faithful, until you've exhausted what you have, until you have been very faithful with what has been committed into you. So we can say that your ultimate assignment in life is a function. How much you fulfill your assignment in life is a function of how faithful you are. Praise God. Look at the story of David. That's also an example. The Bible tells us that David, before he was called, before he went out to, he got to the point where he went and, fought against Goliath and, he came in the limelight. David was very faithful with the sheep. He was someone that was, his job was just to watch sheep and ensure that nothing happened to them, and he was very faithful. Let's read it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. So this, at this point, this was when David, you know, saw the Philistines, saw Goliath and harassing the people of God. So this is what David said. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servants will go and fight with this Philistine. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, now look at this, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 35. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. Are you seeing that? What David is saying here is, when there was a situation in my, you know, in the work that I was given, I was faithful enough that I went after, you know, imagine, think about it logically. Maybe many times when we are reading the Bible, we don't think about it logically. Imagine you are a shepherd, you are to watch over flocks. And one day, you come and you hear someone tells you that lion just carried one of the sheep. Which one will you do? Would you say, thank God I was not there. May the lion not carry me too. or you would even just run and leave the remaining. Let the lion not come back. Or you will go after the lion to save that one. That shows faithfulness. And that's what David was trying to show Saul, that, see, I am capable. I've been faithful with all that I've been given unto me. Now look, let's keep reading. Verse 36. It says, the servant slew both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defiled the armies of the living God. Now look at verse 37. Very, very instructive. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the Philistine. Now look at what Saul says. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Meaning that for Saul to be able to allow David to take up this new assignment, David, you know, what qualified David to Saul was that David was faithful with the one he already had. Are you seeing that? So Saul was able to say, go. He was able to give him that extra assignment because he has been completely faithful with the one that was handed on to him. So many times, you know, we think that you are ready for the next step. But ask yourself, have I maximized all that the Lord has given me? Have I been faithful enough to the point where people will look at me and say, this one, he has carried this business on his head. You know, David was so known about this thing that whenever they were looking for David, as much as the Bible described David as someone that could play music, someone that was a man of wisdom in matters, and the Bible also describes him in 1 Samuel chapter 16 as someone that could play, you know, he could play the harp, he could sing, he was a man of war, he was someone that was wise. But when they were looking for him, they knew where to find him. He was always with the sheep. He was always with the sheep. So, it means that we must learn faithfulness. Before the next assignment can play out, for some of us, when that anointing touched, when they just touch your head and just say you are the next king, what's sheep? From that point, that's what they say, no, me, I'm too big for sheep. My place is in the king's palace. Praise God. So we must learn to remain faithful. Faithfulness is too important. It's too important. You know that saying that says that to whom much is expected. That's not even what I was looking for. There's this one that says that the reward for good work is what? More work. And that's very true. People that have shown faithfulness with the one that have been committed unto them, naturally you give them more. Naturally you give them more. And in God's perspective, it's not just more work, it's more trust. He can trust you. Look at the parable that Jesus told about the servant that had 20. Because he was able to multiply 10 to 20, he could trust that if you give him extra one, you'll do something with it. So, if you are looking, you know, you want to fulfill your assignment, you know, you have to learn to be faithful. Because when you are faithful, God can now give you more. Both more resources, more work, more assignments. Because he knows that he can trust you that you will do something with it. Praise God. Say, I will be faithful. Number 5, training and exposure. Training and exposure. Training and exposure. You know, contrary to what many people think, your training and your exposure would influence how you fulfill your assignments. Or it will influence your assignments. Many times, your training and exposure would affect how you go about fulfilling your assignments. And this is very fundamental. Let me give you an instance in the Bible. The story of David. Let's go back to David. Now, David was, you know the story. At the point, after, if I let's just continue reading from verse 37. After Saul had called him and, you know, Saul said he should go and everything. Let's start from verse 39. See something. It says, and David gathered his sword upon his armor and he had said to go. For he had not proven it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David put them off him. Do you see that? Now, David was supposed to go and kill, you know, go into war. But David could not go with what he had not practiced with, what he was not trained with. This tells you something, that God, many times, would use what you have in order to, you know, direct you to where his assignment is. Praise God. Think about it. Imagine if David did not know how to use the sling as well. Or maybe he did not use any weapon at all. What would God have done? Maybe God will have tried to find another way to help. Maybe it's not be. Maybe God will even not even use killing Goliath as the place to put him on the spotlight. Maybe he won't use that medium at all. Because many times, God will use what you have. You know, God asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? When Moses was in front of the sea, and it looked as though he was, you know, he did not know what to do, how to move on to the next assignment. God said, what do you have in your hand? He said, the rod. He said, stretch it forth. So many times, it's what we have that God would pick up. It's what you have that God would use. So you have to learn to be somebody that would give yourself to training. Praise God. Don't be a person that will just be laid back and not apply yourself to doing something. Praise God. So your training is very important. Your training and your exposure, what you have, God might use it as the medium to fulfillment of your assignment. Sometimes it might even be that the Lord will push you to start taking some particular trainings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because you must not have that mindset that, oh, if it's God's will, it will be done. I just have to wait. It will just play out. No. Praise God. You have to apply yourself. You have to do something. It's what you then do that the Lord will multiply and lead you to where he's sending you to. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you must have something in your hand. You must have something in your hand. And lastly, submit to divine orchestration. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. This is what he's saying there. He says, the race is not to the swift. Now, you know, Pastor has explained this thing many times. That he's saying, what he's saying here is, first of all, we know that the race is not to the swift. But the people that are running the race, the people that is calling that time and chance happened to them all, they are the swifts. They are the wise. Praise God. So, first of all, you need to know that before time and chance will happen to you, at least you have to be swift. You have to be wise. And then time and chance will now meet it and it will not bring results. So, meaning that, first of all, you have to do your part. You have to be good. You have to, you know, like we said, put yourself to training. Give yourself some exposure. But my main focus here is that it says, even having done all these things, even though you are swift, even though you are wise, even though, you know, you are prudent in all matters, also, it says time and chance happened to them all. Meaning that there is a path. And when it says time and chance, Pastor has explained that for us, it means that the spirit, the orchestration of the spirit happens to us. So, meaning that is when, you know, many times we have been, you know, we have given ourselves to training, but then the Spirit of God will now lead us to the opportunities where your training will be relevant. Hallelujah. And that's how it works many times. So as much as you have done your part, you've given yourself exposure, you've been faithful, you've done all those things that we've said so far, also, you must understand that you cannot do it without the Spirit. You must understand that you cannot fulfill it without the Spirit of God. Orchestration. And, you know, the story of Joseph is very instrumental in explaining this. Joseph, from his father's house, he was sold to Egypt to go and basically his brothers did not want him, so they sold him off to Egypt. Now, when he got to Egypt, Joseph found himself in Potiphar's house, and he was a faithful steward. He was faithful servant. He was faithful. He did everything he ought to do. He was a good servant. However, something still happened, and they said, you know, he tried to sleep with Potiphar's wife, and they threw him to prison. Now, look at how everything is playing out. The story was that he, on his own part, he has done everything good that he could do. But then it was now the Spirit of God that was orchestrating his movements. So the Spirit of God then moved him, starting from his father's house, moved him to Egypt. Things happened. People might have thought that they were doing bad against him, but the Spirit of God, because Joseph was in alignment with God, his path was just naturally aligned with what the Lord wanted him to do. And everything he was doing, eventually God was using it to bring him to his assignments. So he then goes to the prison. From the prison, he meets somebody that then eventually refers him to the key, to Pharaoh. And then from there, he becomes the prime minister. So many times, as much as we've done our part, we must pay attention to the orchestration of the Spirit and must believe in it. And it's, you know, for me, what I believe is that as long as you are a person that is aligned with God, one way or the other, God will just orchestrate it to be aligned with his will. As long as, look, Joseph did not even really know what the things that God wanted to do. He knew, God has told him in dream that, oh, they will bow to him. But he did not really understand how it will happen. As a matter of fact, he had no part in fulfilling it. All he just needed to do was that he was always aligned with God's will. When he was in Potiphar's house, he was aligned with God. The situation there was that Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him. But because he was aligned with God, he did not sleep with her, and eventually he was in the prison, which led him to fulfilling his assignments. So, as long as men, you know how I like to see, because we are children of God and the Spirit of God is already in us, as long as you have an open heart to the will of God and you are desiring to be in God's will, the Lord, you know, many times will orchestrate things. Will just orchestrate things to play out according to his will. Hallelujah. He will open opportunities, he will open doors. And what that means is, maybe, you know, of course, it's important for you to pray. Maybe you've been praying for an assignment. Oh, Lord, what's my assignment? You've been praying. Lord, what's the next step? What's that big picture? And if you've not heard it, maybe you've not heard the Lord speak from behind you and say, my son, stand up, for this is the assignment that I've called you to do. You know, I remember when I was, when Newbury was going to start, Newbury Lagos. And before this time, right, I'd had some kind of sensing that I would be in ministry, but I did not know how it would play out, and I didn't know, you know, how it was going to come to pass. So, in my head, I was like, okay, God, I'm following your will. Whatever it is, I will do. Then, I was speaking with Pastor, and Pastor then said, you know, God is leading me that, you know, you'll be the pastor of Lagos Church. And at that point in time, I knew that I was going to eventually, you know, be involved in ministry, but I know I heard God clearly to say, this is it, this is the one. So I was like, God, I can't do this thing. You have to tell me, I have to hear a loud voice. You know, like the way Bishop David Oyedepo always tells that his vision. He said, the Lord said to me in an 18-hour vision. You know, I said, Lord, I need to see 18, I need to have an 18-hour vision. You know, and I was praying, I was like, God, I won't do this thing until I know I'm so clear. And, you know, at least did I know that a lot of things that have happened in my life was God orchestrating me to the assignment that he called me for. So, before then, you know, I was in a particular ministry, and I was like, okay, let me just go for this, their camp meeting. And I went for the camp meeting. And as you know, while I was there, I heard the pastor clearly, multiple, in fact, that particular camp meeting, all the sessions, like as if it was just me that the pastor was talking to. And in one of those sessions, he said, there's somebody here, you are here. Your pastor has called you and ordained you for an assignment, and you are still saying that you want to hear God clearly. Is it that you don't believe the ministry of your pastor? Ah, Jesus. That it hits me. You know when it's like they put spotlight on you. I was feeling goosebumps. You know? And from there, I just stood up and I just said, okay, God, fine. Okay, I believe in you. And then I sat down and looked at my life, and I realized that a lot of the people that a lot of the things, you know, from my first job, you know, from the people that I met, my first job, everything just aligned with what God was planning for me. And so, and as much as after I finished NYSC, I was praying and saying, God, what is your will for my life? And I did not exactly hear, you become pastor, this is, as long as I not hear those words. But because I was aligned to God's will, he was able to orchestrate and make things happen in alignment to his will. Do you understand? So, as much as you might be praying, You might not have heard the end picture. You know, like I like to explain it. Many times, how God leads us, he just tells us, just gives us the next step. He just tells us, oh, go here. Look at the story of Philip. The Bible says that an angel came to Philip and told him to stand up and go to a particular place. When he got there, the Spirit of God then told him, join yourself. So the angel did not tell him, you will see an Ethiopian eunuch, you will see his chariot, jump inside his chariot, follow him, preach the gospel to him, get him saved, baptize him. All those things didn't happen. He just told him, stand up and go here. And he went there. And then the Spirit told him, okay, see that chariot, enter. So many times, don't try to look out for the end. Oh, until the Lord say, this is the full detail of your entire life. And until you get to that point, you now say, God, you're not leading me. No. Many times, if your heart is open to the leadings, he will lead you through little things. He will tell you the next step to go. You know, like the Bible says that the lamb of, it says that thy word is the lamb unto my feet. Meaning the word of God is the lamb that will illuminate just around you. And as you take a step more, you will learn, you will find out more. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is very important. It's very important. Learn to just open yourself to the orchestration of God. Because you know that you are a child of God. You know, it just gives God the right to just play with your life in quotes. To just direct you, to just direct things in the way that it should go. And I've seen this happen a lot in my life. I remember, I'll just share one more story and then we'll close. I remember when I was in the university and I met Pastor. You know, that time it was Sadeva, he was a mentor. And he was just praying with me and we just prayed together. And all of a sudden he said, I sense that the Lord will call you work in this kind of organization. And I was like, okay, no wahala. And I took it years down the line. When it was time for NYSC, I was in final year, so just not a few months after I finished school, it was time for NYSC, and I went for NYSC. They posted me to Jos. I was like, this company is not in Jos. That's the end. But you know those people that say, you say, God, wherever they post me to, I will not do anything. I will not be involved in working it. Whatever your will is, let it be done. That was me. I was like, God, if you have posted me to Jos, you have something for me in Jos. Let your will be done. So I didn't really do anything. I was not really involved in redeployment. So after the camp, when they were giving people PPA, they told me, redeploy to Lagos. I was like, okay. Eventually I came back, my father and my parents worked it. I said, great. So I was not in Lagos. I was like, God, what's the next step? And I just felt like I should call one of my friends that is in Lagos that did his camp in Lagos. Maybe he will know how the camp thing works and where I'm supposed to go. So I just called him to ask him for direction on how to go to what they call that in Yanopaja? Secretariat. Look, anything. He was asking me. I was asking him, okay, what's the next step? Now that I'm in Lagos, what do I do? How do I get a PPA? And it was like, and then we're talking, and then it was like, there's this big accounting firm that he feels like if NYC can post him there, he'll be there. I was like, let me try it too. That's how I tried it. Unknowing to me. You know, at that point, I was never remembering that Pastor had professed that I was going to work in this kind of organization. Eventually, how it played out, eventually they posted me there. When I got there, unfortunately, I got there on Tuesday instead of Monday, and they rejected everybody that came on Tuesday. But me, I'm one other person. They just said, we like you, let's just accept you. Every other person, we're rejecting you. And I was like, okay. So I started working there. Out of 35 NYSC people, only 5 people retained. And I was one of those 5 people. And I can remember that exam very well. That exam, the person next to me was one telling me, you're not answering the question now. Answer this one. This is the answer. I'm telling you, this is literally what happened. Guess what? That person failed. I passed. And I was just, sometimes I just think about it. I'm like, God, you literally. And that was where I met Pastor Tolu and everything. And I think about it, I'm like, God, literally, just from start to finish, just orchestrated everything. So, the lesson here is that if just be a person that desires to do God's will and be aligned. And, and as you're praying to God for direction, you might not have all the picture, you might not have the end, but just trust God that, God, I trust you. And know that as long as you are aligned with God, you cannot miss it. Hallelujah. As long as you are aligned with God, as long as your heart desire, is to just do God's will, you will miss it. It's just like Joseph. As long as Joseph was aligned with God, one way or the other, he didn't have to know he was fulfilling destiny. That's how it is for us. As long as, you know, God's orchestration can lead us to where he would have us be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed today? Can we jump on our feet right now and just give God thanks?